Hey there, everybody. Welcome to another Big Gay Date. I'm Dave Mosley.
My name's Carl Skeen.
And it is July 11th, 2016, and we are watching the Arnold Schwarzenegger classic, Jack Slater 3, within the Arnold Schwarzenegger classic, Last Action Hero.
This movie came out when I was 6 years old, and it shaped my childhood view of action movies. We watched this when it came out.
Yeah. So did I, because I would have been like 7, maybe 8 by the time it came out on VHS.
Yeah.
I was really young to be watching a movie like this, and I remember this scene with the Ripper was really fucking terrifying.
See, I remember not quite understanding the dramatics of like this opening scene, just seeing it as like a big standoff.
Yeah.
It wasn't until like later on I understood how self-referential this whole movie is.
Yeah. You get a lot more out of it when you're older than 6 years old.
Yeah, when the whole time we watched this movie growing up, it was just a fantastic action film.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but my parents enjoyed this movie for a totally different reason.
Yeah, because they were in on the gag.
Yeah.
And you just like the explosions and shit as a kid.
Yeah.
So this is 1993, I believe. Arnold Schwarzenegger stars as Arnold Schwarzenegger, who stars as Jack Slater in this fictional action movie franchise. And it's a story of, who is it, Danny, I think his name is, the kid, who finds a golden ticket. Sorry. That's great. finds a golden ticket that actually lets you cross over into the world of the movies. And he finds himself living inside this cliched, over-the-top Hollywood action
film. Now, wasn't this golden ticket from Harry Houdini himself?
Yes, so I'm really interested to hear kind of your idea on that when it comes up, because the projector guy kind of tells the whole story of how he ran into Harry Houdini, and then he gives him this magical golden ticket. Now, it's my understanding that Houdini kind of called bullshit on all the spiritual stuff.
Yeah.
So how does that sit with you?
Yeah, that's weird. I want to watch these Jack Slater movies, though.
They do seem like they would be they'd be a good laugh. Are they directed? We'll check the credits when we see the opening credits for Jack Slater 4. I need to check because they might be directed by John McTiernan also, who directed this, who also directed Die Hard, which is considered kind of the a quintessential classic action, like the greatest action film of all time by so many people.
Tina Turner. Now, okay, can they pull a machete? And like how Machete was the fake trailer for the fake movie, and then they pulled a movie out of it. Can we get a Jack Slater like fucking 28 with modern day Arnold Schwarzenegger in it, and just imply that a whole franchise legitimately happened?
Yeah, just never. We don't need to see the first 27, but let's just jump in at 28 and just be along for the ride. Yeah, that could. I don't know.
That'd be a great TV
never
show.
Absolutely. Never say never, man. So this is a huge police response for, this is a pretty, I don't remember more kids being up there.
Yeah, I didn't, this was the big scene.
But this is why Slater's here. That's his kid who's being dangled over the side there. This guy, that makeup and those teeth, man, that freaked me out as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I love when you see the actor later. That's a gag I didn't pick up on for the longest time because I didn't realize that, you know, they look so different. And I didn't know that much about movie magic at the time.
I dig his axe.
Yeah.
We kind of see it in this scene, but we get the money shot. The axe comes apart.
Yeah.
And fits, like, it comes apart in different pieces for travel. Whenever, later on in the big movie premiere scene, we get to see, like, more money shots of the axe.
I love the shot where he throws the axe, and it's super slow motion, and, like, you got Arnold Schwarzenegger at that point kind of diving backwards, and it skims right past his face and shit. Such a memorable shot.
Now, I'm just assuming the effects, as in, like, going in and out of the screen, probably won't stand up to time.
That's going to, we're going to see some real bad compositing.
But we were talking before we even started about the fact that this movie is so self-referential and to Hollywood and the movie culture at the time.
That a lot can be forgiven, I think.
Yeah, and if the effects do date themselves, then that's almost part of the charm of this movie.
Yeah, absolutely. This is an action movie circa 1993. So
this is when Arnold Schwarzenegger was top shit.
At his prime, yeah.
When you thought Viking, you thought Arnold Schwarzenegger. When you thought action movie hero, you thought him.
Mm-hmm. This is after Terminator 2, wasn't it? Yeah, Terminator 2 was 1992.
Mm-hmm.
So he hadn't done True Lies yet. That is another great action movie that holds up really, really well.
What about Predator, bro?
Yeah, he'd done Predator, but that's classic 80s action movie, you know, where real cheesy.
Those are what turned Schwarzenegger into the iconic actor. And the fact that he was such an iconic actor in the early 90s is why him and only him could play this role.
Yeah, but he is definitely a different kind of action hero in the 90s than he is in the 80s, mm-hmm. you know? He's funnier here in these movies. I True Lies, I gotta go back to though. It's a fantastic, super funny spy movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's like in the '90s, Arnold Schwarzenegger got in on the joke.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So yeah, in the '80s, he was really just you got Conan, Red Sonja, Commando, all that sort of stuff. And then in the '90s, we started to get things like. Total Recall right at the end of the 80s, I think, or mm-hmm. 1990. Kindergarten Cop. Terminator 2, where he's like, you know, a robot trying to crack a smile. You know, he starts to have a little fun with himself in the 90s. And it came kind of to a peak at this, I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Have you seen the fucking action movies now with him? The
Expendables?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's a whole different kind of... that's a whole other level of self-referential.
Okay, so this decrepit-ass theater
mm-hmm.
here in New York City... This is the coolest place!
I've never been to a theater in New York, and so paint me a word picture. Is this... Does it look like a rape den like it does in this movie? Or
New York City...
Because I know New York City in the 1990s was kind of sketchy. Kind of dirty.
New York City in the 70s was this everywhere. Mm-hmm. New York City, if you look at any pictures of, like, subway cars, buildings, the people that lived in New York. Yeah. Like, have you seen The Warriors?
No. I know enough of it. You know, it's a cultural touchstone, so I know
yeah.
the gist of it, yeah. It's like a crime city, basically.
Yeah, this is not 1993 New York. For the most part,
1990s was when Giuliani came in and he kind of cleaned things
yeah,
up.
Yeah, 1990s, yeah. Everything was getting better, you know, like absolutely. Wall Street. And...
This guy, is it Robert Prosky?
He's a really good actor.
He is. I've seen him in anything, though. When I think of him, Gremlins 2 comes to mind. The Dracula that hosts the cheesy TV show
yeah.
and then becomes an on the spot news reporter.
Uh-huh.
yeah. Great actor. I don't want to look it up because I'm pretty sure he's not here anymore. Don't look it up. It'll make me sad.
Yeah.
Let's just go through. God, what were we saying before we jumped in on this?
This kid's skipping school in the coolest place ever.
Yeah. The kind of movies that Arnold Schwarzenegger was doing.
Oh, yeah.
So Jack Slater 3. So, this movie, Schwarzenegger read it, and he said it was the best script he'd ever read. And, I mean, if somebody... This is kind of a love letter to you as Arnold Schwarzenegger, isn't it, I guess? So it's hard not to feel flattered. Like, if somebody wrote a movie about you, you'd kind of think it would be the best movie ever, right?
Movie is lampooning the action movie industry, and it's being lampooned by the action movie industry. Like, that's if you were in that industry, he probably
got a lot more out of this than we would. Yeah, he's picking up on so many little things as he's reading the script.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, he was totally on board with the script. This is his first movie where he took on an executive producer or a producer role, and he had a huge amount of oversight over the production. Every sort of aspect he had control over did not do too well critically, and commercially was kind of a bomb at the box office, which I find really surprising because I'm totally on board with this film. I don't see how nobody could love this.
But do you know what else came out the same weekend?
Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
And that's where I think they fell down. They were too stubborn to move the release. And I guess, I don't know what the pre-release buzz for Jurassic Park was going to be like.
But Jurassic Park was fucking a cultural phenomenon. Had this just been released on a different weekend.
Absolutely. Would have been so different. Just 2 weeks earlier or, I don't know, a month later or something.
Yeah.
Different world. I love this this whole sequence here where it's like it just goes into the over-the-top action trailer.
Because he does everything.
Yeah.
And I love how he's always smoking a cigar because, like, I follow him on Twitter and, like, his Reddit handle and, like, on Facebook and shit. And he's always, like, posting videos and Snapchats of himself. And he's always chiefing that cigar.
So 90s. Just I love it. It's the perfect package. Just the ridiculously cheesy taglines from the announcer. There it is.
Oh my god!
Absolutely beautiful. Now, yeah, these effects do not hold up too well. But it's just brief enough. We're going to forgive it. And you know, there's still some really good, solid, real action pieces to come in this movie.
And this came out when Jurassic Park came out. Anything that looks like really bad, I feel like would have like that. That was the movie in the movie. That would have been intentionally bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they Jurassic Park came out. They had the capability to do. Yeah,
we can forgive that. As soon as Jurassic Park comes out, every other movie has to step their game up. If you're actually trying to sell an effect, and not for like the gag of something. So this is Austin O'Brien, and I quickly checked his IMDb to see what else he did after this. Aside from My Girl 2, I don't recognize a single project on there.
Nope.
He just kind of flashed in the pan and disappeared within a couple years.
My Girl didn't need a sequel, though. You can't replace Macaulay Culkin.
Have you seen My Girl 2?
Yeah.
Does he die at the end as well?
Oh, God, I don't fucking remember. I've seen it. I'm not saying it was good or I care.
You're just saying that the images passed past your eyeballs for the a determined images, amount of time.
I remember My Girl. I remember that being an influential film as a child.
Heartstring tonguer.
Yeah, yeah. That and Home Alone were the only reason that we all cared who Macaulay Culkin was. He was so lovable. Did you see him in Party Monster?
No, I haven't seen that.
Oh my god, he was frightening.
Really?
Yeah. Holy shit.
Is that with
Seth Green?
Seth Green, right.
Yeah, about the club kid that murdered the and like dismembered the body.
Imagine it's kind of like if you grew up with Lindsay Lohan in what's that movie where she plays the twins?
Oh,
Parent Trap.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you grew up with her in that, and then you go and watch that one where she's basically just doing porn, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It's, like, jarring to see her, like, what's happened to you?
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do because they're in the TV, and you don't have a golden ticket to go in, reach through the screen, and shake them and throw some sense into them.
Oh, scary shit. Close your door, bro.
Mm-hmm. But he really wants to go see that movie, so.
I hope he locked the door behind you. There he goes.
Uh-oh. Not fast enough.
Yo.
What do you think? What's running through your head right now?
That shit is dark, man. You got a kid at knife point?
I mean, he's clearly no Macaulay Culkin. We saw how he held up during a home invasion.
Yeah.
Boy would have had a flamethrower to the head and micro machined on the floor.
Absolutely, yeah. That dude would be dead like 30 times over. Their skulls were fractured.
And he's still going to go and see the fucking movie, isn't he?
Hell yeah. Oh, no.
So what I love is we don't ever see New York during the day, do we, in this? It's always... Maybe...
Breakfast scene
out the window. I mean...
But that's about it, yeah.
Yeah, so there's a real nice juxtaposition between how, dark and, threatening the...
Real life is dark and depressing.
Yeah, and you can see why he kind of wants to escape into the movie world, because it's bright, it's beautiful, it's California, there's beautiful people everywhere, it's blue sky, everything's great, you know? Mm-hmm. and you know, the good guys always win, you know?
Now, what movie world would you want to be sucked into?
Oh, man.
Because there's a lot that you wouldn't want to be sucked
into.
Game of Thrones, don't want to go there.
No, you don't stand a good chance there. Uh-uh. I mean, Jurassic Park would be cool, but it...
I know what's going to happen.
It goes so bad so fast.
If you're going into that movie world, the sequence of events from the movie is going to happen. Yeah, so I know it. Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to go into Jurassic World, but I'd like to go maybe 2 days before those kids turn up and fuck up everything, you know? I want to have my vacation and then leave on the ferry that drops them off and then read about it the next day, holy shit, that park just burned down. Everything fell apart.
Mm-hmm.
Glad I went and saw it when I did, you know? Because that would be awesome to see huge dinosaurs, but I don't need to see them flying at me.
Alien invasion movies, don't need to go.
No.
Walking Dead, earlier seasons before everybody got shitty, when you have to deal with other survivor groups like Negan, I don't want to be there for that.
Yeah, when all you have to deal about is the zombies, that could be, I mean, with the right group, it could be doable, it could be...
Mm-hmm. As long as they're not 28 days later.
I don't know, in this rule, do you have a get out? Is this something you jump into the movie for 2 hours and then you can jump back out again, or are you...
Same scenario as this kid.
Okay, so you gotta...
You don't get Schwarzenegger, but you get...
Oh, man. Because, there's so many things that could go wrong in the Walking
Dead. I gotta say Star Trek.
That could be fun.
Because the universe is a really fucking big place.
Yeah, you could just be chilling out on one of the little side planets.
Yeah, just be away from where the Enterprise is going, and you're good.
Just being like a pimp or something.
Yeah, where's Captain James Tiberius Kirk? I don't want to be in his quadrant.
Yeah. Because he has bad policies.
Houdini.
Okay, so...
Because the old man just gave him the ticket.
Yeah, and Houdini...
Gave it to him.
Do you think Houdini was faking it?
Well,
because real Houdini was absolutely full of shit if he ever kind of insinuated he believed in anything spiritual, right?
Yeah.
He spent a lot of time kind of debunking. Around that time, there was a lot of people pretending to talk to the dead and communicate and stuff.
Yeah.
And he kind of made it a little passion of his to go along, just kind of fuck them up, right? Just trip them up.
He made it a thing to debunk as many people as possible. Publicly, on stage at his shows where there were hundreds of people watching, outside of publicity events, in newspapers. He wrote books about it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he was very adamant about people taking money to talk to your dead grandma when they can't talk to your dead grandma is morally reprehensible.
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, I think it's a little more of a gray matter than that, but that was his stance. There's a lot more shades of gray.
Oh, it's a Franco Columbo film. Okay. It's not Mr. John McTiernan.
Who the fuck is Franco Columbo?
That is a fake name, and it's a buddy of Arnold Schwarzenegger's, a workout buddy or something, I believe. We'll find it out. And that name, just there, we had the chick who plays his wife, Meredith something. It says introducing Meredith.
His daughter.
Is it? Yes, it is. That makes a lot more sense now. Yeah, it's less creepy. That is because this is her first film.
I don't know. The fact that you thought it was his wife, that's even more creepy.
I don't remember this movie very well. I don't remember what she looks like at all. I've completely forgotten that scene. This guy is is an Italian Biff Tannen.
Yeah.
Just how badly he messes up these like metaphors and shit. <You know? laughs> But later on, he's like, you do a complete 360. He's like, 180. If I did a 360, I'd just be back where I started.
Yeah, he's like the bartender in a Boondock Saints, minus the charm and the likability. Mm-hmm. Now,
So this is Jack Slater 4, and this is the movie where the whole premise, like what sets off the revenge plot, is Jack Slater's second cousin being killed.
Yeah, now where is Mr. Lannister?
Right here.
Yay!
Mr. Charles Dance. Better known nowadays, I guess, as Tywin Lannister. The role has catapulted him to fame. I love that gun. How much it changes.
And Charles Dance, he's such a badass in this.
He is a great villain. I don't know him from too many things apart from obviously Game of Thrones and this. And I know I watched Alien 3 and I was surprised he was in that, but he's not in that for very long. I don't really know what else he does, honestly. But he's a very distinguished actor. I know that much.
Yeah.
I tell you what, if you've never, you've probably not seen, wherever in the UK, you may have seen a show, Big Fat Quiz of the Year. It's a game show. It's an end of year thing around Christmas. It's a pub quiz or a trivia night with celebrities, basically. And there'll be like different panels and everything answering questions about the news stories of the year. Hosted by Jimmy Carr, a very funny man on Netflix. Every time now, they have a distinguished actor doing a dramatic reading of a autobiography or something from a celebrity or, you know, a very famous book. And they've had Ian McKellen read, like, Kim Kardashian's autobiography and shit. They've had Charles Dance a couple of times. I remember, you've not lived until you've heard Charles Dance do a dramatic reading of a passage from 50 Shades of Grey, and in his intellectual tone, just utter the words kinky fuckery.
That sounds really funny.
he delivers it with such gusto and such earnest. Mm-hmm. It makes me want to read the book, honestly. Just I want to hear an audiobook of him reading 50 the whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
And just sit in my own wet pants. Like it's
what a non turn up for a crack house.
Yeah, I mean it's no Rooftop of Kids, but
yeah, but you need more than the two older guys.
Yeah, because they don't know he's gonna be here, right?
Yeah, they think it's a crack house.
It's a drug bus with two guys. Good God,
it's not a good drug bus. It's probably dudes crouched down in the bushes. Oh no. Try the handle. Yeah.
This is sad. This is this guy's last on-screen performance.
Aww.
And his last words are, "I'm out of here."
That's so sad.
Mm.
Yo, that's so sad. Okay, now what is the timer on this bomb? Because it had to be going for some random amount of seconds.
Yeah. Again, just crazy random movie happenstance that what's about to happen actually fucking happens. Like him taking away the cards has any bearing on what's actually going to happen. I love how it takes him four numbers to realize what's going on as well. God, remember when they actually blew stuff up in real life?
Yeah. He called it.
Mm-hmm. Now, why do the cops have to die?
Because they're like red shirts in Star Trek. Yeah. You need expendables. Wow.
Lethal Weapon. Now this car chase here, I gotta keep an eye out. I seem to remember them going around the same area as the waterways that the car chase in Terminator 2 happens.
Well, I mean,
which would make sense. Again, would be another kind of in gag, I would think.
Yeah.
Now, are bullets strong enough to do that?
Oh, yeah, not those. Definitely not those.
I love how everything prop-wise is Acme as well.
Yeah.
It's just like so very nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Oh.
That kid is giving that movie the fuck me eyes.
Yeah, he is. That kid is, man, I can't wait till he discovers sex.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Okay, yeah. So that composite effect. Yeah.
That wasn't terrible, but no. Until it goes through the screen.
But it's a neat transition
yeah.
to go into the real thing at the very front of the frame.
Now, when this explodes...
Mm. The movie theater's fine, right? When we come back to it later on?
Yeah.
I don't know.
What does Nick think when he looks down at the kids?
Yeah.
What does he think is going on?
Yeah. Does he not hear a much louder fucking explosion? I think like that movie doesn't seem like it's going to have 7.1 surround sound. So you think you could tell the difference between a movie and an actual stick of dynamite blowing up, right?
You would hope.
But then he is a very old man, I guess.
Yeah, I've seen old ladies who, like, husband offed themselves in the living room while they were cooking, and they thought that he was just watching another episode of Gunsmoke.
Holy shit, that got dark real quick.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Fuck, man, you're just a bundle of fun tonight, aren't you?
Yep. Yep.
Oh, man. What is your favorite Schwarzenegger movie, then?
I gotta say Last Action Hero, probably. That or Predator. I like vintage Schwarzenegger. Uh-huh. I'm not gonna say Terminator 2, because mm-hmm. Terminator 2 is one of my favorite movies.
Right.
It's just a really good film, but it's not my favorite Schwarzenegger movie, because he's pretty standard in that.
Yeah, it's not it's a solid performance.
This, you actually get to see that Arnold has a sense of humor.
He has a personality.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that.
He got stabbed in the... Oh, man.
Jesus. I mean, yeah, actually, you know what? I was going to say Terminator 2, but yeah, you're right. I think it's just a really great movie overall.
But Arnold just...
But
Arnold does what Arnold is expected to do.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. God, I think I'd go with True Lies then, in that case. I think it's a good mix of smooth Arnold playing like a James Bond type, and also kind of the humor that you get in this side as well.
Okay, sure, why not?
Why the hell not?
Those Middle Eastern dudes do it with Escalades.
Yeah. Yeah, I love in True Lies when he's on the fucking horse chasing the guy on the motorbike, and he's like, he's apologizing to everybody he's flying past.
Uh-huh. This is the bridge that Jack Black threw Ron Burgundy's dog off.
In Anchorman. Uh-huh. All right. And I feel like it's the exact same fucking thing from Terminator, so I wasn't crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
I drive in this in Grand Theft Auto 5 all the time.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely.
I do that too. And the little tunnels out in the back by the like into the sewer. Woo.
God, you had to be a lot more coordinated to shoot an action scene in the 90s before you had computers and shit, right? Like, look at that.
That's such a dope shot.
Yeah. Like, his expression's a little fucking...
Yeah, I could do without the kid.
But that whole, like, you know there's a car on a fucking crane or something there.
Yeah.
driving towards that truck. And just that shot previously where you've got the truck, you've got the car flying down the waterway.
This
and
one.
We,
oh. That's not nice. As jarring as some of the other stuff.
Yeah. But I think it's also a gag shot as well.
So yeah.
You can let it go.
At least we were past all the bad guys having to be Russian at this point.
Yeah. Oh, that's a point. I heard about, apparently the Charles Dance role was originally written for Alan Rickman, which is kind of neat because obviously he was in, he was Hans Gruber in Die Hard, which was directed by the same guy, John McTiernan.
And that probably would have been just as awesome.
Yeah, that would have been cool. Now, I mean, obviously they're both British. I don't know whether Alan Rickman would have done his British accent or... Imagine Alan Rickman with the whole, like, eyes and shit, how he would have done that. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
But apparently, I don't know what the story was. Apparently, he wanted too much money, perhaps, or something.
Mm.
And this was 93. Was Robin Hood, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves the same year?
Ooh.
Maybe he went off and did that instead. I don't know. That'd be funny. But Charles Dance got the role instead. So, allegedly on set, he wore a shirt proudly proclaiming, "I'm cheaper than Alan Rickman."
That's really funny. Oh. What a weird... I've never understood this in action movies.
No. And we get to see how it actually would play out in the New York scenes later on. You remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Burst into flames for no fucking reason.
Yeah, because why not? Yeah. I mean, really.
Yeah.
That's like the whole movie.
And again, this movie is a PG-13, so we don't get to see any real kind of stuff, but certainly titillating for 1993.
Now, in the movie theater, is Nick watching the screen?
Nick passes out, and that's why he doesn't realize all this shit is going on.
But, okay, yeah. When all this is going on and he is in the movie, if Nick was awake watching the screen, would he be seeing this, what we are watching?
I would like to think so, yeah. And okay. I'd like to think if he was watching this, he wouldn't... hang on.
Oh!
Sharon Stone
uh-huh.
and Robert Patrick. So those are some great cameos that I remember in this
yeah.
movie. We were talking about this before we joined. What were you going to say?
Are they who? What companies put out those two movies and this one? Because if they're owned by the same parent company, I'd understand that. But if they're not, either that was the licensing was expensive, or do actors just have a cool kids club where they can like? Is
I think
it like
when
George Clooney and his friends for the Ocean
yeah,
movies?
I think. When you're Arnold Schwarzenegger, you can kind of just call the people you've worked with in the past. Robert Patrick, especially, like you just worked with him on Terminator 2. Pretty
yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure,
why not?
You just call him in. Now, I'm interested about Sharon Stone because apparently they did not work well together on Total Recall. So, like they apparently hated each other on the set of that. So, quite why she would have agreed, I don't know. Might be more to it than that.
But, I would watch this movie.
Absolutely.
Krauss and the
yeah.
Rabbi.
I think you get away with not needing to do the license and stuff because you're not actually using any of the names or anything.
You're just asking there's the actor
certain,
to be there.
There's a certain physical homage being paid, but it's not, you know, you're not explicitly saying this is the guy. Like, if the Danny had been like, Jack, it's the guy from Terminator 2. That would have been something. But because he's literally just saying, like, Jack, did you see that? It's kind of just like a nudge, nudge, wink, wink. And if the audience infers that it's the guy from Terminator 2,
uh-huh.
then that's on the audience, you know? It's not the audience's fault. The audience has wild imaginations. They can decide what they want, I think, is kind of how they uh-huh. would have just played that.
Okay.
Nowadays, you know, probably a little bit fucking trickier because obviously everyone's... lawsuit happy now and everything.
Everyone's very litigious.
I love when the steam starts to come out of this guy's ears. What were we saying? Oh, yeah, when... I love the animated cat. That's such a great fucking game. It's like, there is an animated cat.
They even call it the animated
yeah.
cat.
That's... Yeah. Let's take a moment. He'll do it again tomorrow. Such a great gag. Yeah,
I would like to be sucked into this movie universe.
Just this part right here. This, you want to be teamed up with the cartoon cat. Yeah. To solve crimes. Yeah. Absolutely. Cause, and especially, I feel like you'd be safe with the cartoon cat as well, because no one's going to kill a cartoon cat in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, and can you use a ticket to jump from place to place? Because if that's the case, I want to take the cartoon cat and then go somewhere else.
You can, yeah, because as we see at the end of the movie, they take like death out of one movie, and there's nothing really stopping him from putting him into another. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, you just want to, you can fucking Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure this whole thing.
Now, if
that is a movie I would watch.
Absolutely. Now, if Arnold in the real world punches through a window and his hand hurts,
yeah,
then death... Does he still have all of his death powers in the real world?
Or is he just a guy in a robe?
Yeah, or is he just a pale guy in a robe? Yeah.
Huh. That's a good question.
Because then that'd be really depressing.
Yeah, especially for death.
And if you lose your powers in the real world, who's to say you get introduced to another movie universe that have a different set of like reality?
Yeah.
Would your powers apply?
If you take Gandalf and put him into... fucking Schindler's List, is he going to be able to, is he of any use, or is he just going to,
yeah,
that's an interesting, this is something that should be explored.
Now, if you take Magneto mm-hmm. and you put him in Schindler's List, I think it would be okay.
He's going to be in for a bad time.
Because, well, I think it would be okay for the existing Holocaust scenes with Magneto as a kid and being uh-huh. awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah,
It would jazz Schindler's List up a little bit, honestly.
A lot of things could jazz up Schindler's List. There's like tiny splotches of color occasionally. The girl in the red dress, so sad.
Imagine putting the guys from The Hangover in Schindler's List.
That'd be really funny.
Yeah. Man, that's an interesting idea for a film. If you could get like, if you could Who Framed Roger Rabbit... a whole bunch of different fucking movies and they jump from place to place. Who Framed Roger Rabbit meets Last Action Hero meets Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Bam. There's your pitch.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
I'm sold already.
Have you seen the Nickelodeon movie?
I've heard about it. I don't know. Is there a trailer out yet?
No, but they're doing it.
But it's that same mm-hmm. Who Framed Roger Rabbit concept.
But with like Doug and Hey Arnold and everyone that we grew up with.
Yeah. I'm on board with that. That could be really cool. I don't know what... I mean, I need to see what the premise of the story is. What made Who Framed Roger Rabbit so cool is it wasn't just about all the characters being together in the same universe. It was, you know, the story of Eddie Valiant and mm-hmm. trying to solve a crime. It was a mystery.
And it was really, really well done.
Yeah, absolutely.
The meshing of the animated footage along with the actual practical movement.
Yeah.
And he drives like an asshole.
Acme Video, and this is another great fucking gag coming up here. All these movies that he's searching for in the Arnold Schwarzenegger section, and he's super fucking bummed. How great is that? I would love that poster, honestly.
Somebody's got to sell that on Etsy or
that
something.
Poster. Like, if you walk in and see somebody with that poster, you know. They're a good person.
Yeah.
This is someone I can trust. I can
see, but you would frame that and put it up, and 90% of the people that come to your house would not even
What's wrong
be...
with your poster?
Yeah. If they even realized anything was wrong.
Yeah. What, is this a remake or something? Mm-hmm. Oh, they're remaking Terminator 2? And that's when you're like, get the fuck out of my house.
Holy shit, I want one of those posters.
Absolutely. That's my new life goal. Fuck, I'm going to get on that. I love this ridiculous fashion in this version of LA as well. Look at that shit. Donuts on the arms and on the ass.
Yeah.
Fucking Carmen Sandiego.
Yeah, it's like how they dress in Fifth fucking Element.
Yeah.
Although, for real, Ruby Rod's got some fly outfits.
Speaking of Schindler's List, apparently Steven Spielberg was offered the chance to direct this film, but he turned it down to do that film instead. Good for him. I can see why. But I don't think Steven Spielberg... Has Steven Spielberg ever done an action film? He does adventure very well.
Mm-hmm.
He's the king of, like, adventure, I would say.
Yeah, but isn't he also Jewish, and wasn't Schindler's List, like, a personal, like, project of his?
Was it? I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I know he's, like... I'm not trying to sound, like, ignorant or whatever. I don't want to say he's huge in the Jewish community, but, like, I know he, like, has done shit for, like, Jewish foundations and shit for years.
Right. Okay.
I was under the impression that when he did Schindler's List, it was kind of, like, a pet thing for him.
Right. Just like a passion project.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Because it is a good film. It is a very good film, you know, and like, and the German dude has the factory and wants to save all these Jews, so he puts on paperwork that they're all working for him in the factory so he can get him out of the concentration camps. It's, spoiler alert, but it's really good. It's not entirely factual, but it's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently the guy was not in real life as heroic as, there was some definite self-interest involved. But regardless of your motivation, you still, like, saved people's lives, so fuck it.
Take credit where credit's due.
Yeah, yeah. I don't give a shit if you did it for financial reasons or you just wanted to help humankind. You helped humankind.
Yeah. Just spunking through all the trivia I have for this film, by the way. I just want to double check something before I say it, because obviously this film didn't do too well, and this film didn't do too well at the box office, and John McTiernan, Arnold Schwarzenegger took it kind of personally, because obviously it's a film all about him. How can you not take this personally if no one wants to see a movie about Arnold Schwarzenegger being Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know?
Yeah.
But also, is that Odd Job?
It looks like it, yeah. I don't think it... Is it really Odd Job?
Are we just being racist? I don't know. Let's check it out. I'll find out.
Yeah.
Also John McTiernan kind of took this kind of personally as well. And he took like a little break from his career. But you know what the next film he did was? Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Mm.
And that's a fantastic fucking film. So, I mean... And like I say, I love this film. I don't consider this a failure at all.
Mm-mm. No. This film is great. They just had the misfortune of competing against Jurassic Park. Yeah,
just
that's
real bad timing.
Oh.
Wait, is he a henchman?
Apparently, yeah, because he's not the mob boss. He is a henchman, but he is like the pitbull henchman. He's the assassin henchman.
So who's the actual, like, the head honcho of this whole thing?
The Italian?
Who he shoots later on, like, and just usurps. I thought he was kind of his henchman.
The Italian is his? I thought that he was the Italian's henchman and then usurps him later.
Oh, okay. Maybe. Oh, such a funny gag.
Recta?
Doesn't that sound like something that Tywin Lannister would say?
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely it does.
There's the cigar.
Always. Wow. Oh, there's your glass eye.
Oh. Okay, you're right. So he's going to take over the whole operation a little bit later on.
Because his boss is a Sicilian schmuck.
Gotcha.
Oh, God. Do you ever intentionally knock shit over in people's driveway when you pull out?
I try not to.
I knock over my sister's trash can as much as I can.
Every fucking time.
Absolutely.
I never park. I never go anywhere, honestly, except my own house. If I fuck up my own shit, I'm going to hurt myself.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what is your favorite part of this movie? Let me tell you what mine is. Mine is the funeral that they just mentioned there, that they're going to go to. They're going to crash the funeral. And it's the scene. It's a long, like, I don't know, 10, 15 second shot. It's in, when he's in the elevator that's been, like, blown to shit and he's hanging off of it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's holding on to, like, the snarled metal. And it breaks off, and it's a super slow motion shot of him holding on to this part of the elevator that breaks off, and just the hopelessness in his eyes as mm-hmm. he still cradles what, like, this piece of metal that's doing absolutely nothing anymore, and he just lets it go super slowly.
Yeah, mine was at the end of that scene when they drop the bomb body into the Labrador pit.
Oh shit, that's like shot for shot going like pretty soon after the other. Uh-huh. We can do it. And then we can see if there's anything more.
Yeah, why not? And then my third was going to be when his daughter shows up with the monster truck.
Yeah.
Which was right after that.
Right, okay. So this is her first movie, and that's why in the credits it says, and introducing Meredith blah blah blah.
Mm-hmm.
Nice little in joke again. Yeah, it's definitely his daughter.
I'm trying to go through this scene thinking that that is his wife, and just imagine how creepy that is.
Yeah.
She wants to fuck a 15-year-old, bro.
Ugh. It's such 90s hair as well for her.
What a sick fucking view, though.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Arnold's acting, that's what's wrong. He's acting a little hard out.
He can't act unless he has a cigar in his mouth.
Yeah.
God, he just can't catch a break with this kid.
Yeah.
So
I wonder if he ever got... I mean, I know... Okay, I'm not going to say... I know he doesn't, like, work hard with acting,
mm-hmm.
but you
that
can't...
That shot. There it is.
Wow.
That's the one I was talking about. I think we missed it earlier, I think. Yeah, he shoots the guy, he falls back. Such a cheesy fucking shot, action shot, that's all I mean.
So does he go method ever?
How do you mean?
Arnold?
Well, look at his movies, if he did. I mean...
if yeah. I mean, he owns a tank.
Yeah.
Did you see that? They did a charity last year where everyone that donated the charity, regardless of if you donated $1,000 or $5, you all got put into the running, and then one person got drawn, and Arnold flew them out to L.A. He took you out of this big, like, lot or whatever, and you smoked cigars and drove his tank over cars
shit.
And just hung out with Arnold for a day and did really manly shit.
Holy man.
I would love to go drive a tank over cars with Arnold.
That is my perfect Sunday. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So, like, he may very well go method, because, like, that's his idea of fun, driving tanks over shit and, like, shooting guns and smoking cigars.
Yeah. And I imagine he's probably had a lot of, you know, weapons training and shit as well.
They are all pushed up against Charles. They're pushed up against him. They're all
got to fill that frame and make it cinematic, you know.
Yeah, get everybody in the
shot. Doesn't matter if it's functional.
Okay, you, right behind Charles, you're going to crouch down, bend your knees a little bit. You in the back, yeah. Get on your toes.
Choreographing it like it's a fucking album cover or something.
What are you gonna do?
Yeah. Such a fun villain. I love it. It's got some ink. Presumably from the African tribal village where he grew up.
Yeah. That is pretty swag, though. Mm. I'm all about tattoos, but I'm not really... Give me 20 years and I'll be down to get neck tattoos. But right now, I've still got enough of my life ahead of me.
Yeah.
That,
you might want to work in a bank or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Neck
you
tattoos
want,
and
you, may, you at least want the option of a career or something like some kind of, you know.
Yeah. Neck tattoos get, and face tattoos
yeah,
mean that
no
one
going
day
back.
You just said, fuck it.
Yeah. At that point, you are resigning yourself to either being a tattooer or working.
Manual labor.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I was always taught that you should get as many tattoos as you want, but you should be able to roll up your button-down sleeves and mm-hmm. wear a tie without them being seen.
Mm-hmm. So what's your favorite John McTiernan film, then? If Arnold Schwarzenegger is, what do you say? Commando and this?
Oh, shit, Commando 2.
You said Commando earlier.
No, I said Predator.
Oh, I'm sorry. Right. My bad.
Which Commando and Predator are basically the same thing,
yeah.
Minus an alien.
Yeah, exactly. I like Die Hard, and this is a great film, but Die Hard with a Vengeance is my favorite John McTiernan film. I think hands down.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just so fucking smart. I mean, this is a really smart movie as well. This is very smart, satirical.
Mm-hmm. I probably got to go with Die Hard just because it set the tone
one.
For like a whole, yeah, it set
it
the tone
trend,
for a
yeah.
whole decade of movies.
It was genre defining. Absolutely. But I think Die Hard with a Vengeance is the perfect kind of just the polish on that. Are you peeing again for a second time?
I haven't peed yet.
Oh. Oh, okay. Holy shit, you're actually, you're out drinking me this week. This is a rare turn of events.
Do you need one?
Yeah, I'll take one. That, like, this never happens. Usually it's like a 2-to-1 ratio of me drinking against you drinking. Thank you, sir. I'm really surprised. You're really enjoying this movie, aren't you?
I told you this is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
And he is smart. What?
Yeah, what a move. Well, shit, I gotta keep up then. I didn't realize you were, gonna be serious tonight. I thought we were just gonna kick back, have a couple of casual drinks, and watch a movie. I didn't realize you're gonna throw the gauntlet down on me.
Oh no, this movie's great.
Oh no.
Whew. Because we don't have bottle openers here, we use lighters.
I'm sorry, I'm not fucking... Sorry, it's not the fucking Ritz, and I don't have a bottle opener on hand. That's why you learned that trick. To open it with a lighter.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen the tooth implant?
Oh, my God. That sounds fucking horrifying.
Okay,
that's the thing you can get? Like a bottle cap inside your mouth?
It was this video. This company paid for it. It was like a marketing campaign where they got like a bunch of football players and shit and dudes who, like, their line of work, they've lost like a lot of teeth.
Uh-huh.
And so they made a molar that is like a bottle opener, complete with a screw going down as a root, and they did the exact same like screw thing you would do when putting in like dental work. Only instead they put the screw in, and once the screw like healed in your jaw, you went back in. They attached the steel tooth to the screw, and now from there on out, you've got a bottle open in your mouth, so you can grab any fucking pry off bottle cap and bite it off and look like a Viking.
Holy fucking shit.
And I'm pretty sure you can just like pay for that now.
Oh man, it sounds impressive, but I would wince every single fucking time.
Yeah, do you pinky up when you're holding? No, you don't. Okay.
No, I wrap all my fingers around the microphone.
Of course, grab,
yeah.
You do.
Hold it like it's a phallus, not like it's a cup of tea, Your Highness.
You always got a pinky up on the mic, man.
I do pinky up on my beer. Like, I can't help myself from doing that. I have to get fancy when I'm drinking. Do you know, have I told you the thing in, it's a game we play in England, my friends, where, because everybody, you will fucking pinky up, whether you know it or not, you're going to pinky. As you're drinking a drink, if you grab somebody's pinky finger, like, grab it like a dick, wrap all your fingers around their pinky while they're sipping from their drink, then the rule is they have to finish the drink.
Okay, but couldn't you just grab their finger and then tilt upwards and now they're forced to just finish the drink?
Yeah, I mean, if they're going to be a pussy about it and try and bitch out, but, you know, we play a gentleman's game in England, so if you grab the pinky, that ball's not going anywhere until it's empty.
In England, we do things on a wink and a handshake.
A wank and a handshake. Here's our cute E.T. homage.
Yep. Oh. See, but nowadays you would just hire a dude that does BMX bikes to really film that shot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that's totally doable.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Mr. Pastrana, we're going to dress you up like a child. Okay, man, where's my check? That bike's all fucked up, though. Yeah, do we know if that's actually
what's worse?
Our job?
What, let me find out. What's worse, having your bike stolen or walking out in the morning and finding your bike has been completely fucking destroyed? Either way, you can't use the bike. But the second way is like you find it, you know it can never be used again.
Yeah.
Why are they taking it back to that guy?
At least if it gets stolen, that's a potential like Pee Wee Herman adventure.
Yeah, you could maybe see it again.
Now, did he just take out one eye or did he just swap eyes? Because that there's not an empty hole there.
I'm not going to lie, I missed it.
Those eyes are really cool though. I can't see out of my right eye, and for years I've said that I want that right there.
You can't see out of your right eye?
No, my lady thinks it's crazy, but I have sworn up and down, if I could, I would just go to the doctor, have them put me under, scoop the shit out with a spoon, and give me, like, the most awesome glass shit ever. His glass eye grenade in this movie is the most badass thing. What's that English actress in that, The one like Outbreak movie in the future where they set up the wall and all the people on the side of the wall were
Doomsday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That girl's crazy like wireless camera eye. That was pretty cool
right.
too.
Yeah, yeah. Man, I get the appeal of having like, you know, fake eye or an eye patch or something, but you the character Carl on The Walking Dead is you're getting dangerously close to that area and you would not be able to live it down, honestly.
Okay, true statement. Whenever I first lost vision in my right eye, I wore an eye patch for a bit. Because I looked fucking retarded.
And I could see like a, I don't know, kind of like a Snake Plissken kind of thing.
I did magic show. Yeah, and that's what I was hoping.
A pirate clown could be interesting.
But I did magic shows at the Tropicana in Atlantic City wearing an eye patch for the better part of like 2 years. Mm-hmm. I've got pictures of that shit from like 8 years ago working, and I look like a goddamn pirate in a suit. Wearing like a slim cut, like fringe suit, and
like
then
a
big
dapper
ass
pirate, yeah.
Yeah, and a big ass black eye patch. Oh my god. I've also always wanted to just rock. We used to do it like in the eye patch, but if I had a glass eye, mm-hmm. I've always wanted to do that, like borrow a bill, destroy it, and have it appear inside of your eye hole.
Mm-hmm.
Like when Johnny Depp gets the shit out of Cheech Marin's eye in Once Upon a Time in Mexico.
Right.
But you don't have to die or get your body sunk into a river. You can just take off your eye patch and be like, hey, you see that? Can you reach in there and grab that?
You know what I'd love? If you had, like, I don't know how fake eyes kind of work or anything, but if you could have, like, a prop one that, you know, pop your fake eye out and then get them to crush you with a hammer and their bills inside. What an awesome fucking reveal that would be.
Oh, my God.
Again, man, I'm just going to give you some, like, some picture, some visuals I want to see, and I'll let you, you're the fucking magician. You make it happen.
I know a girl that works with us doing Ripley's events, and she's an eye popper.
Mm-hmm.
One of their, like, her eye just pops completely. Yeah. Both of her eyes pop out of her socket. Nope, he was just smoking.
There it is. Yeah, perfect.
But she talks about when she realized that she could do it, when she would be, like, dating a guy and be on the way out. She'd wait until they were having sex.
Oh,
and, like, right in the middle of the moment, and she would climax but go, oh, my God! And her eyes are popping out. And, like, he's immediately done.
I love the black and white cop just there.
Yeah.
Great. Oh, my God. If I was a woman and I could do that, I would absolutely be popping my eyes at, like, the apex of every thrust. Mm-hmm. You know? Just to make the guy feel like he's a fucking champion.
Yeah.
Oh, just man. Popping them out in time and shit, in rhythm.
And that's such a cool little talent, because, like, we'd be out, like, at the bar, you know, like, drinking or eating. And if somebody asks, like, me or my business partner what we do, we legitimately have to, like, stand up and do shit.
Yeah. People and you need to have, like, a deck of cards or something on you at the very least. Yeah. Hopefully something a little more impressive.
People ask her what she does, and
she just looks at them
and
funny.
They freak the fuck out.
Is that the guy we just saw?
Salieri from Amadeus?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Is that the lawyer from Jurassic Park?
No.
No, it's a different guy, right?
Yeah.
I always got confused between those guys when I was young.
That guy was Salieri, the evil, like, nemesis composer in Amadeus.
Which is a joke that pops up here later on.
Yeah, he was also evil Uncle Cyrus in 13 Ghost.
Yes. All right.
Which is fantastic, by the way. I don't care what anybody... How does he just have guns stacked up like shoes?
Yeah. I love to think he just rolls out of bed and he just, yeah, like any of us, like, flick past our shirts to pick out the one for the day.
Same boots.
Yeah, he rifles through, like, the guns like it's a fucking file of facts or something.
And then all of his brown jackets that are identical and all of his red t-shirts. That's great.
Yeah. His view sucks. Have we noticed that? Like, he's spending all his money on his daughter's view, and look at this guy. He looks at the freeway.
Yeah. Hey, but it's Jag Slater. He would totally just put a car out back and just drive up the hill onto the freeway.
It's true.
If you got to bust out of the house.
It's true. He would make an on-ramp.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, man. I remember Randy's speech from Scream.
Mm-hmm.
Sequels. I was so bummed when he died in Scream 2. I'm like, he's the only good thing about this franchise.
Yeah, he was my favorite thing as well. he was the audience's character, basically.
Yeah.
Saying everything that we were saying.
Yeah, and I really like the character of Randy, played by Jamie Kennedy. I do not like Jamie Kennedy. His stand-up is terrible. But
no.
As Randy, he was great.
Yeah. He was great for that role. I'm not a fan of... What was his show?
Jamie Kennedy Experiment?
Yeah, where it's like you got X'd and shit.
And then the what something Most Wanted, where he was super gangster, but like Malibu's Most Wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah, that movie was terrible.
I just I watched a little bit just now, actually, of Tremors 5, Bloodlines.
Mm-hmm.
That's a terrible film, but he is one of the worst parts of it.
Tremors stopped being good 30 minutes into Tremors 1.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of Tremors 1. And Tremors 2, I gave a passing... I gave way more credit than
the weird monsters. We'll give it a chance.
Yeah, I loved the worms and everything in the first one. When they started looking like chickens in the second one, I was like, this is kind of dumb.
Mm-hmm. They're like big baby chicks. Yeah.
But the first one, fucking Kevin Bacon, is a great film.
Mm-hmm.
Love that movie.
When it became
all about Michael Gross and the redneck guy, and that he was the thing of the franchise, I gave up on that. Stergos, not seen that film.
What? With Kevin Bacon?
Never.
Holy shit, that movie's amazing. Just commit. it's a weird supernatural like ghost thriller movie.
That's what I get from it, yeah.
But it's on point. The second one with Rob Lowe,
mm-hmm.
But Stir of Echoes, Kevin Bacon, it's a really, really good film.
Okay.
Dead people. Opening scenes, this little kid taking a bath, looking at the camera, having side A of a two-sided conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And you're the point of view of the camera, so you just assume he looks like he's talking to you, but it sounds like he's talking to his imaginary friend.
Right.
And then the last question he asks, as he's like getting dried off from the bath, he looks at the camera, he goes, I have a question. Does it hurt to be dead? And then the camera switches so it's behind the little boy and nobody's standing in front of him.
Oh, right.
And yeah, they set the tone like 2 minutes in.
Nice little reveal. All right. We should start getting shots ready pretty soon here.
Yep. All these Italians. I wonder how many Italians they had to bond out of jail just so they could fill this scene.
Controversial. And I love how, yeah.
Pull my finger?
Yeah, the guy's stuffed with nerve gas and the trigger is pulling his finger. My God. This script was optioned for $350,000, you know. And it's got gag. It's got stuff like that in it.
Did his car just ran over the water like one of those
like
lizards?
Like Jesus Mobile, yeah.
Yeah, like the Jesus lizard.
Yeah.
And why is the Pope Mobile not a duck boat? Why can it not just roll down into the water and keep going? I'm just saying it's
These
a missed
are the
opportunity.
These
yeah.
are the questions.
Christianity, you're missing some marketing opportunities. What are you guys thinking? You went through that shit with the kids and now you just don't care. Fuck it, we're voting for Trump. That's not the correct response.
Yeah.
If I got sucked into a movie universe, though, and I saw actors that I recognized, typecasting is a thing.
Uh-huh.
So, like, it's
you
like
stay
Law
fucking
and Order.
Clear of, like, Brad Dourif or something?
If I got sucked into Law & Order SVU, the first actor that I recognized outside of the immediate cop group, that's the murderer.
Absolutely.
That guy's the rapist. How do you know? Just trust me.
Man, that's an interesting premise. a guy who
he just referred to.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, okay. Yeah, it comes up. I told you. Yeah, it's a beautiful little callback.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. a movie or a TV show. It's your typical cop has supernatural powers to solve a case sort of thing, but actually it's just this kid 20 years later who's still got his golden ticket, and he just knows who actual actors are, and he jumps into the TV show world and he's just pulling up the first popular actor.
Yeah.
He's just like passing it off as like a clairvoyant sort of thing, but really it's just like, this is the guest star of the episode, so this must be the killer.
Yeah. Okay, here's a question. In this movie universe, all these crazy movie props work. The same question we had earlier about Arnold punching a window. If he punches a window, his death loses his powers.
So he takes a gun out into the real world.
If I were to take the puzzle box from Hellraiser into the real world, would it just be a prop? Or would it functionally destroy the world?
There's two different schools of thought for that, isn't there? I mean,
I don't know. It's fucking mind-blowing, bro.
Yeah. When you think about it, if Arnold can't even fucking punch a window without hurting himself, then, you know, if the actors themselves aren't impervious, then what's to say the items are?
Yeah, also,
like the Avengers would be like fucking no good in real life, I guess.
Yeah, would Tony Stark's like suit turn to a foam suit or a mocap suit?
Yeah, it would just be Robert Downey Jr. in a black leotard with little ping pong balls all over him.
Yeah, see, if that's the case, this is no longer an enjoyable.
Let's not think of it like that.
Yeah, what's the other one?
Let's
Everybody's
dream.
Just awesome.
That whatever you take out into the real world works as it would in the real world.
If you brought it from the movies to the real world, it would work like you intended, but real world things do not react like the real world window doesn't react like a movie window.
Yeah.
But if Arnold Schwarzenegger brought a nuclear bomb from this movie into the real world, it would still be a nuclear bomb.
That's fair to say.
Yeah, is that okay?
Yeah, because nuclear bombs exist in this world, so there's no reason why. Because there's a frame of reference.
He's not bringing a time machine.
Yeah, there's a frame of reference, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Now, if
something supernatural or magic or whatnot, where we have no frame of reference in this world, yeah, that is where it would just be a piece of junk. That's fair to say, right?
Uh-huh.
It's a good way to work.
Absolutely.
Okay.
For reals, though, have you seen the Tarantino universe, how, like, every film that he's done is connected?
Not, I don't know, it may have been at some point.
They're all connected. They either take place in the same universe in a different point in time in that universe, or they are the movies that people in that universe would watch. Kill Bill is a movie that the guys that Bruce Willis in Pulp Fiction would go watch at the movie theater.
Gotcha.
It's True Romance that Tarantino directed.
No, he wrote it. He
wrote it. Okay, yeah. The big Hollywood exec in True Romance, if you go by his name and his last name, his grandfather was the Bear Jew from
Hateful Eight.
Not Hateful Eight, the World War II one.
Oh, gotcha, yeah, Inglourious Bastards.
Yeah, because if they murdered Hitler and the Nazi Party in a movie theater later on in the Tarantino universe, number one, Americans appreciate pop culture more than they do in reality, which would explain all the pop culture talks. Mm-hmm. Also, they're totally desensitized to violence, which would explain why movies in their universe, like Kill Bill 1 and 2,
right,
would be ultra bloody and like spouting blood.
Yeah.
And yeah.
All right.
But going, if this Houdini ticket thing happened, then every movie could be in the same universe, correct?
Yeah. Absolutely. There's no stopping you. But seriously, I would watch that film where fucking two Bill and Ted style characters jump from movie to movie to create like a fucking superhero force to save the world or something, you know?
What was there was a movie that came out in the early 90s, I think, maybe late 80s, where the family got a satellite dish and installed in their backyard, and it ended up sucking the parents into the TV universe, and they would jump from channel to channel and TV show to TV show. But they got sucked. They were standing in the backyard and like working on the satellite, and the satellite sucked them into the satellite, and then they were in TV.
Right,
jumping
just across the signals.
Yeah.
It rings a bell.
And like every scene they were like they were in Leave It to Beaver and like a fucking medieval TV show, and oh man.
It rings a bell, but
John Ritter, John Lovitz, I feel like John Lovitz might have been in it. I don't know.
Can you imagine that movie if you had to create like a whole...
That's why I'm saying they had to bond a bunch of people out, because right. They all have guns. Those are all real Italians.
It's the only way to be sure. Yeah, imagine like there's a, you know, you need to create... Who would be on your, you know, a real life Avengers? Who's your superhero team if you could pick like any four characters from any movie? It's like one of those fucking Facebook tests where it's like tap your phone and the first four taps are your fucking
if they
your
had their
team,
existing morals or the morals that I would want them for like
the character from the film or whatever that because
Ultron would be badass, but Ultron as he
would
is kind of shitty.
Yeah, absolutely.
Vision, on the other hand, Vision's pretty rad.
Yeah, not just superheroes though. Like anything, like you could fucking.
I would like...
It's like Lego. You could take Gandalf, you could take Batman, and all this sort of shit, you know?
Ooh. Okay. I'd take Neo.
Okay.
I would take Vision from Marvel.
Yeah.
Okay. I would take Gandalf from Lord of the Rings.
Gandalf the White or Gandalf the Grey?
Gandalf the White, yo. And I would also take, and this is two people, but I want them as one, I would like Fitzsimmons from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
You're really getting into that shit. I like that.
Well, now I'm done. Now I've got nothing.
Cool.
I'm done with season three.
It's an outside-the-box choice, man. Well done.
Yeah.
That's cool. My shot is coming up any second here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mine's coming up a couple minutes after.
Yeah, I'm very aware of that.
Oh, that was jarring. He should be dead. The helicopter pilot, he should have already been dead. Not Schwarzenegger, because Schwarzenegger survived anything.
Yeah.
I saw Terminator. He was going into the lava, and he still gave a thumbs up.
Here we go. This is it. It's what kills me is this look of hopelessness right here. Cheers, sir.
Oh, God, that's so funny.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Yeah, that I don't even. I never remembered that, but
that's
funny.
That's the shot that sticks in my head. Okay, so what are we doing here? It's when he falls into the tar pits.
And the big fart bubble comes up like a Ren and Stimpy episode.
All right, so okay, more shots ready for the fart bubble in 40 seconds.
Now, is it really 40 seconds?
Let's find out.
Oh, no, there's no way, because he's already at 30.
Let's find out. Have you been to L.A.?
Yeah. I actually, the first time I went to L.A., I was right after the O.J. Simpson debacle.
Uh-huh.
And at Nicole, we went to the Mezzaluna. We sat at the table that Ron and Nicole sat at the night they got murdered, and we also went to Nicole Brown Simpson's house. And there were bushes in front of the gate, but we stuck our camera through the bushes and took a picture of the sidewalk, and there was still blood on the sidewalk.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, man. I fucking love L.A. It's always exciting. It's always exciting. And if there's nothing going on in L.A., go down to TJ, because there's fucking always something happening in Tijuana.
This is a real place, right? These tar pits and shit?
Yeah, absolutely.
With these really fake dinosaurs and stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know if they have them now, but I know they did. Yeah, it's like, it's they've been there. There's like dinosaur and like mastodon like fossils inside of it.
Okay. I mean, again.
It's in Grand Theft Auto 5, bro.
I'm just saying it looked kind of cartoony when I saw it in this.
Oh, no, it looks pretty cartoony in real life, too.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. That's good to know.
And it's, like, right in the middle of the city.
But it's a real tar pit and everything.
Yeah, the La Brea tar pit, that's a real thing.
If they had a fucking fart bubble that pops up like that, like, every 30 seconds, that'd be amazing.
I'm pretty sure the La Brea tar pit circa the 4 or 5 years around this was also in Volcano.
Oh, yes. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right. I remember that.
Basically, if you watch movies from the 90s, you can get a really good layout of what LA actually looked like.
You can kind of piece it together.
Yeah, because they filmed everything in town or in the desert surrounding. Or at the Disney Ranch.
Have you seen now there's actually a t-shirt that refuses to stain? Like, you can pour red wine on it and it just bounces off.
What?
Yeah, like a white t-shirt. There's videos on YouTube. It's like,
oh, wait, does it have Neverwet on it? Or is it a t-shirt?
It's a t-shirt.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's a t-shirt. It's like $40 or something, but it will not stain.
I'd be interested in knowing that fabric, because I'd want to make a whole suit out of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because pies, like cream pies, pies with pie tins
cheap,
with
yeah.
cream in them, not, yeah, yeah. ruin suits.
Really?
Ruin them. You can't wash out the rotted dairy smell.
Ugh.
Cream pies. Have you seen that episode of Always Sunny?
I've never seen that show, no.
They think the Asians are moving into town to open up a shop that sells pies with cream. Cream pies, because Frank broke in and read their browser history.
Oh. Nice.
See, this kind of pool, there should be sharks with lasers on them.
Sharks with frickin' lasers on their frickin' heads.
Yeah.
When was that, 97? Yeah.
These sharks with lasers on their heads are fucking timeless.
Yeah. What we need to see... Do you have people like that, that, like, get shit like that, simple sayings wrong, and you just can't help but fucking correct them?
Oh, every time. Every time. I'm also a... Oh, did he just break the fourth wall?
He did, yeah.
He did.
Hello, Charles Dams.
Hey.
Thank you for joining us on Big Gay Days.
I was saying something before he broke the fourth wall, but then his mystical eye sucked me in.
Yeah, right.
Oh, now we're going to go back to the movie theater.
Mm.
I recognize a scene because monster trucks don't belong inside. You know where they go? Not there.
It's the most elaborate garage you've ever seen.
Yeah, and even his fucking revolver is so goddamn obnoxious. He's got like the Colt from Dirty Harry.
Yeah.
And that little kid holding Schwarzenegger's big-ass gun, he's going to pull the trigger once, and that gun's going to fly back, and he's going to lose a tooth.
Yeah, break his fucking forehead.
Yeah. Oh, Oddjob and fucking Lannister, they're out. Real world. Yeah, but, okay, let's just put this into perspective. Your mom is a single mom. She is having a hard time taking care of you and her.
You have no life if you go back there.
If you
stay, she's going to have a much better life without you.
The reel, I would assume the reel doesn't have to keep spinning for this universe to still exist. The fact that the movie exists means that this universe exists.
Yeah, and this franchise is doing pretty well. There's always going to be sequels.
Yeah,
so even if
he could just stay there,
Yeah.
And his mom is probably never going to run into Evil Guy. Evil Guy will do his evil thing, but probably somebody will put him down. This is the real world. He doesn't understand yet.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would have just stayed there. I would have said, fuck it. They can deal with it. Let the government
do it. One
less
bad guy in the movie world, which is where you want to stay. So that's a good thing, honestly. It's kind of like defeating the villain. It's kind of like you're just pushing him into an alternate dimension.
Yeah, a little bit.
Usually that's
bit.
Good enough. When you banish somebody to an alternate dimension, you call that a win, right? In the movies?
In the movies, yeah.
Like Loki at in Thor.
Not to be, not Hive.
Yeah.
From that show.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bad idea. Mr. Robot comes out on Wednesday.
I've seen a lot of advertisements of that. I was going to ask you about that.
So premiere is episode 1 and 2.
Hang on, I like this.
Oh, fuck that guy.
He's expecting it just to...
just the bullets to find their destination.
Yeah, just blow the whole car up. I love watching... real world Arnold realize that the real world sucks.
Yeah.
You know.
But really, this whole portion of the movie shouldn't exist. The last half of the movie should have been like Project X and just party in the movie world.
Yeah. Things would have been so much simpler.
Yeah.
You know what I'd like to see? Did you ever watch... let's go off on a fucking tangent. Did you ever watch Enchanted from Disney?
Yeah.
The first half of the movie is the fucking cartoon and everything, and it's presented in a 4:3 aspect ratio. Mm-hmm. And then when they go out into the real world, you go out into the widescreen. Really nice little effect. I'd like to... It would have been cool to maybe see like a little transition like that. You know, like a movie... because especially widescreen wasn't huge over here. I don't know when your family got their first widescreen TV, but it was like... late in the game for us.
Yeah, no. I have never owned a widescreen TV. Widescreen for me basically just black lines on top and on bottom.
Yeah, I mean you can't see out the right eye anyway. So yeah.
I also can't do 3D.
Of course.
I can do 2D, but we'll go to movies and Audra will be like, "Hey, the 3D's only like X amount of money more." Yeah, how about not? You can go. I'll go to the other one. Let's meet up after. We'll talk about the film.
Yeah. It's true. I mean, you never talk during the movie anyway, so.
Yeah, I also hate movies as first dates because the only thing you discover about your date is whether or not their nose whistles when they breathe.
Yeah, or how much popcorn they steal.
Yeah, bitches. God.
Let's talk about Die Hard since since he directed that same fucking movie.
I love Die Hard.
Yeah.
There are some plot holes and goofs in that movie that are quite comical.
Mm-hmm.
But Die Hard is amazing.
It's endearing. It's forgivable, honestly. Like,
yeah.
It's like I said, it's genre defining. It's not, I'd say it's not the best action movie, but it was one of the first examples of what could be the greatest action movie.
It set the tone.
I think Die Hard 3 is a polish on it. Takes the formula, takes the idea, and just gives it that extra kind of shine. Makes it really, really solid.
Yeah. And, I mean, Die Hard took place in one building. Now, mm-hmm. with, like, later on, with, like, actual improvement and effects, and knowing, having Die Hard 1 under your belt, now the studio is willing to pay for more money, you can do the extravagant Die Hard.
Yeah. Running from place to place. I don't know. I mean,
Die Hard 2 too, and I actually think it's kind of boring that it happens in an airport, but realistically, first movie happens in one building as well, and that was awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Die Hard 4 and 5, I can do without. Honestly, mm-hmm. Those are not Die Hard in spirit to me. Those are action movies, they're not Die Hard movies.
So he's a magician, okay? Because he's got Houdini and Blackstone.
Oh, sorry. This guy here.
Yeah, he's got all these magic posters up on the wall behind.
Yeah,
him.
he's a big magic fan.
He's got a bunch of lithographs, which are expensive as fuck, by the way.
Okay.
Oh, man. Yeah, he's thinking about decades. That.
Yeah, he's playing it safe. He's going back to the talkies.
Yeah.
And we're like, you know, fuck it. What's the most dangerous world you could go into?
Yeah.
You know what I'd like to see him go into? Gremlins 2. And just watch worlds collide.
Uh-huh. Now, wait a second, though. Okay, in this universe, that Sharon Stone movie, Terminator 2, and Jack Slater all takes place in the same Hollywood. Just going off of the cameos right now.
Yeah.
Everything that is cameoed is currently happening in the same Hollywood. It's just a different person's story and point of view.
We're led to believe, yes.
I wonder how many other movies are included in that Hollywood. How many other interactions could you have without having to jump from, I mean, Hollywood in the 90s.
Yeah.
There's a fuck ton of movies there, man.
Absolutely. I mean, that Black and White Cop, I think, was from something.
Yeah, is this like Who Framed Roger Rabbit? And just, if you're in movies, you're somewhere in that world?
Mm.
You know, because like in Who Framed Roger Rabbit, if you're animated, you're in Toontown, regardless of what company you
work
for.
You work in Toontown. You're on the set.
Yeah, like the Disney and the Warner Brothers, like they all work in the same place. So like, as long as you were in the same point, like Alien wouldn't work because that takes place in the far future.
Yeah.
Robin Hood wouldn't work because that takes place in the far past.
You know what's fucking weird is if, so Terminator 2 takes place in the same world as Last Action Hero, and I'm pretty sure they plaster Arnold Schwarzenegger's face all over the news because he's going around blowing up all of L.A., Why isn't Jack... that's probably why Jack Slater's boss is so pissed. He's like, you blew up the Cyberdyne building. And he's like, there was a fucking chase along. There's a helicopter flying along the freeway. And
it's super meta. It's super meta.
Jack Slater's getting blamed for all the shit that Terminator 2 Arnold Schwarzenegger did.
Why not?
Stands to reason.
Yeah, yeah.
And Jack Slater just blows up so much stuff, he can't keep track of what he does and what he is and is not responsible for.
I would assume he just takes no personal responsibility for anything.
Mm-hmm.
And just, if he figures if it's too big of a deal, he'll get yelled at for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then his ex-wife will call.
Yeah. Apartment 3D. You see that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. I got one. His name's Arnold.
How fucking awesome would it feel to be able to just do this to your mom as a kid, like you're 10 years old or something, and just fucking bring out an A-list movie celebrity?
Arnold Braunschweiger. Three card Monty. You'll never win that game. You're not supposed to. If you do, they'll give you your winnings, but they'll staple them to your forehead.
Such a funny gag.
Ooh, my people. Yeah.
Oh, man.
These people have small goals. Small aspirations.
Now, you could see this, right? Like, from his point of view, you're a guy who's trying to take over the world, essentially, or, you know, make millions of dollars. And the crime you see people fighting over shoes or killing over shoes in this world. You're like, this is easy pickings. Like,
yeah.
I can rule the roost pretty fucking easily, and no one gives a shit.
Absolutely. Because this is like vintage terrible New York.
Yeah.
My God. This is like old King Kong ride New York.
I love this. This is a brilliant scene as well.
Okay, so if you bring the weapon from the world, it works.
It does work.
If I were to bring...
It's not as powerful as if you were... But the
bullets... It's not going to cause the car to explode.
Exactly. Okay. Right. but it is still a functioning gun, because presumably we have that kind of, we have functioning guns in this world. Fucking magical staffs or wands or fucking puzzle boxes, probably not going to do too much.
But this is funny because he's confessing in the real world and nobody gives a
shit.
Could
not give less of a fuck. No.
That sounds like a lot of like cities in America right now.
Yeah.
That sounds like Detroit for the last 15 years.
Oh, man.
Have you ever been to Detroit?
Never.
Okay. No. I do a lot of traveling. When I go to Georgetown, South Carolina, it smells like farts because there's a big paper mill downtown, and the whole town, if you're downwind, it's paper mills smell like farts. When you fly into Detroit...
Are you sure your farts don't just smell of paper?
No. Paper farts. It's if you ever read Fight Club, they talk about the fart smell of paper. Like, it legitimately, like, it's a thing.
All right.
But if you go to Detroit, it smells like... Failure. It smells like failure and depression and sadness.
Mm-hmm.
And even in the airport, people just are... The most unfriendly airport workers I've ever run into have been in Detroit and only Detroit.
In what way?
They're just the worst, yo. Every TSA agent I've run into in every other airport has just been some dude doing his job. In Detroit... Right. They actually think they're more than just security theater.
It's like Paul Blart Mall Cop.
Yeah, but worse.
Like really taking it like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, at least he gets a segue. You know, like. Ugh. And it's just disgusting.
I'll have to take your word for it. I don't see myself going to Detroit anytime soon.
We've worked gigs in Detroit. You don't need to find a hotel. There's parts of town that are just empty. You can squat in numerous apartment buildings. That's not even a joke. Also, I once knew a guy that worked Detroit, and at the end of the event, he burnt down the building he was squatting in, and no cops showed up. Nobody. No fire trucks, no cops, no nothing.
Here's a callback to a previous scene. It's just easier.
Yeah, fuck it, sure.
Yeah.
Did we get any Trade Center? Did we get a Trade Center anywhere in that shot?
I think that are they on Empire State?
Yeah, that looks like the Empire State.
Yeah,
you've been there, right?
Yeah,
of course, yeah.
Many a time.
Yeah, if you're going to New York, if you're going to tourist it up, that's required reading.
If I go to last few times I've been to New York, I've been lucky enough to stay at a really beautiful hotel that's literally two blocks down from the Empire State Building.
When's the last time you went?
I took my wife for her 29th birthday then.
Do they still have the King Kong in the lobby?
Of the Empire State? Yeah, they do. They have
the little one, the one connected with the strings that fell off the Empire State in the old King Kong movie?
Oh, I didn't read it that closely.
Oh, man. Yeah, when I was there, when I was younger, they had a tiny King Kong model.
Sounds about right, yeah.
And they had connected the head and all the appendages to the body with like a quarter inch of thread.
Yeah.
Because if they didn't do that, when the little King Kong puppet falls off the building in the original King Kong, his limbs didn't flail. So they connected all of them with like a small length of string, so they flailed more.
Gotcha.
And then in the lobby of the Empire State Building, they had that King Kong under glass case for years.
Yeah, they have a whole section about King Kong, which as a kid, like I first went to the Empire State Building when I was like 6 or 5 or something. Mm-hmm. And as a kid, when they're telling you that a huge fucking monkey climbed a building, it's really confusing because you want to believe it, you know. There was a while as a kid I was a little confused when I found out that King Kong was fake. Not gonna lie.
Okay.
I thought it was like a part of New York history for a while. I know there's nothing you can say to that.
No. I've got an I'm a retard moment as well, because that's what that was.
let's call it how it is. Yeah.
When I was a child, when they would use fake numbers, I thought for the life of me, and I tried numerous times, and we get connected with like the operator and the telephone company, that those phone numbers that didn't come with area codes from the movies,
like 555 something.
If I went home and dialed that in my phone number, I would talk to that person, and I saw Hocus Pocus and swore I could call that kid. Swore it, man.
That's a joke we missed earlier, actually. It's when he's talking about, he uses that as an example that this is a movie, and he's like, you know, every single area code starts with 555. He's like, that means there can be at most 10,000 numbers in this city of 7 million people.
Yeah. But yeah, I swore that I could just use the, I really thought I could use the phone numbers and really talk. Those people actually existed in my world, and cameras that they just never acknowledged just followed them around.
You thought you were watching like The Real World or something.
Yeah. Did he rip the door off?
Yeah, but he hurt himself punching glass. Wow, this throws maybe a whole fucking thing out of the
window.
He's
still got super strength, but not bulletproof skin.
Sure. I mean, he is still built like a brick shithouse. So.
Yeah. If Wolverine came out, he'd probably still have claws. He'd probably still be able to fuck shit up, but I don't think he'd heal like he would in the movie.
Yeah. Because, yeah. All right.
And the inflatable Arnold.
Oh, man. I got to go pee real quick, but I'm super psyched for this scene here. Arnold Schwarzenegger gets to play himself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love this part. Just don't talk about the restaurant. Little Richard! I haven't seen Little Richard in years! For anyone that doesn't know who Little Richard is, Little Richard is the shit. Look at Time Magazine. Hi, how are you? Don't plug the restaurants. You're a whore. I hate it when you plug the restaurants and the gyms. It's so tacky. And then he turns around and he plugs the restaurants. That's a selling point. We kill less people. This movie, we only killed 48. Last movie, we killed 119. So that's a lot of motions and depth. Arnold, there's only one kind of depth that you know about. It's that lady right there. And that guy, he's still working. Yeah, and so is she. Plugging the restaurants. Come on, plug the gyms. Plug the gym. God.
So your girl works at Planet Hollywood in Orlando. Yeah, when's the first time you ever went to any Planet Hollywood?
1996.
Like right at the height of the fame.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. My family lived in South Carolina. I got a job dancing down here as a 10-year-old at Disney, being like a child performer. There were me plus like 11 other kids.
Okay.
That worked across the board at like a bunch of like Disney owned things, but mm-hmm. we were like pro kids, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we did this big like department thing where there was this big dinner and like raffles and shit, and we would do it at Planet Hollywood. And it was rad as fuck because I'd never been to anything like that before. Yeah. And with the first time you go to something, if you're not interested in pop culture, that's not the spot for you. If you're not interested in music, Hard Rock is just a shitty restaurant that sells like halfway decent burgers.
Yeah.
But if you're interested in movies, Planet Hollywood, you can waste hours just walking around.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been to. Been to the one in London. That was the very first one I went to. I've also been to New York, Orlando, maybe Washington.
Vegas?
Never been to Vegas. I've never been on the West Coast.
I went to the one in Caesar's Palace at Vegas, and it was rad. Mm. It was super cool.
What I love about every single one of them is they all have fucking Arnold's motorcycle and his suit from Terminator 2.
Okay, that prop axe, the one that he just put together is not the foam one that he swings. That is actually a real metal, like, individual pieces. Only one was made for the filming. Mm. It auctioned off, like, a year and a half ago.
Really?
For way more money than you would have thought a fucking prop from Last Action Hero would have auctioned off.
Yeah.
So cool, man. It was, but when they auctioned it, they posted, they took photos for the auction of every individual piece and all the pieces put together.
Right.
So if you want to make an awesome Last Action Hero prop, all the reference material is available.
Yeah. That's kind of stupid on their part, but it's cool for cosplayers.
Well, I mean, but everybody does. Like, whenever, the company that is making the official licensed high-end Star Wars helmets and props and the ones that are made from the actual movie molds.
Right, yeah, yeah.
With the Star Wars company gave them the ones from the screen so that, like, all the, like, weathering and stuff matches as well.
Yeah.
And when they took pictures of a lot of stuff that other costumes would not even touch, they posted them online, and they posted them as pictures from the original movie props.
Gotcha.
But I want the Ripper's axe. I want his axe so hard.
That's a really, yeah.
It's such a cool scene. The fact that it all comes apart into little pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And then his crazy Robin Hood, like, dive down the fabric.
Yeah. What an awesome fucking shot.
He really looks like me.
Oh, choke. You know what's cool about that is that he's showing that Arnold Schwarzenegger, the person,
is just as awesome.
Yeah, he'd fucking jump at a shooter in a movie theater or something.
Yeah, he's just as awesome as Arnold Schwarzenegger, the idea.
Yeah.
And that's a really good, that spliced together.
Yeah, that was actually,
that
was really well done.
Yeah.
Definitely.
That was very cool.
Pretty seamless, considering some of the that's what clearly where the money went in this movie's effects budget.
Oh yeah. Clearly, all the money went to I mean, look at this. Schwarzenegger got paid twice. that's exactly what happened. You brought me nothing but pain. You created me. Basically, his complaint is you brought me nothing but pain, but he's not quite understanding the gravity yet of the fact that he's still an imagined character.
Yeah.
He's like, this is when he's finally beginning to grasp it.
Yeah.
But what a surreal moment. You brought me nothing but pain, when in actuality, you are the reason that I exist.
Yeah, you've brought him, and Slater's brought Arnold Schwarzenegger nothing but tens of millions of dollars at this point.
Yeah, which really makes you second guess having kids. I mean, think about it, you know, like, you're going to bring them nothing but pain, because every kid hates their parents for at least a little while, not the rest of your life, but everybody goes
through
that where you know best, and your parents are assholes, and then you hit in your mid-20s, or then you have kids and you realize, I'm a dumbass, and eventually we all apologize for being shitheads to our parents. Did you do that yet? Because I did.
No. It's coming.
Yeah. It's going to be some, like, you're going to get together with them for, like, Christmas.
I don't think I can do it over Skype, you know? It's got to be something I got
to
do in person.
It has to be in person. Yeah.
And I don't know when that's going to be. God, that is a shot that was really fucking horrifying to me. Like, this guy, like, as a kid, the idea that a monster could throw a kid my age off of a building and then fucking dance about it, there's something pretty fucking terrifying about that. And now I've grown up and I see that the world is so much fucking worse than that.
Yeah. Yeah, getting thrown off a building in the grand scheme of really shitty things that can happen to
innocent
people.
Yeah, there's so many worse, like, Yeah, people that could do so many worse things.
That's on the better end of like shitty things that could happen to you.
Absolutely.
I mean, and we're not talking like standard like choke on a ham sandwich accidents, like just shitty people in the world.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it's a shitty time to be alive right now.
Yeah. It's also surprising, though, because it also seems like a really inconvenient time to be a bigot. How do you keep track of how many things and people and ideals you're supposed to hate?
Yeah, I think, you know, Excel has never been more popular than right now with bigots. Keeping track of everything. Yeah. European, finally. I love when Carl pees. It means I get to actually sit down and enjoy the movie. We're further into the movie than I thought we were, but trying to remember, aside from Ian McKellen turning up, I can't remember much else happening in this. Like, I'm really struggling right now to think what happens to Charles Dance's character. Do you remember much about the end of this movie? I can't remember the last 20 minutes of this movie. Like, I remember up to this part with the premiere and then thrown off the building and shit. And I know something happens. And then
everybody
know,
lives, he goes back to movie universe.
Yeah, I know Ian McKellen turns up as Death, but before that, like, what happens to Charles Dance? I don't remember at all.
Yeah.
He's a great villain, but he has a really forgettable kind of exit.
Was that a yes or no?
That was a yes, sorry. Oh, here he is. Oh, and he has this fucking umbrella, which always reminded me of the fucking penguin from Batman Returns when I saw this. Yeah. Thank you, my dear. It's also the fact he's wearing a fucking tuxedo as well. Yeah.
You're a fucking tuxedo.
Well played.
That's my dead air filler, yeah. Almost like people use but I use it with my relationships. If my girl is... I have a problem with just kind of mentally checking out a lot. Okay, I'm really busy like planning like tour that comes up soon, and I'm writing like two new shows, so I'm always like mentally elsewhere. And it comes off like I'm really, really rude.
Yeah.
And that's just entertainers in general. It's like that for like a month at a time, and then they're good. Then they're fucking normal people.
Yeah.
So but
at point, it's like venting. You gotta buckle down at some point and fucking get work done.
I would assume that like writers go through the same shit. I'm not a writer, but I would assume they would. But my girl will be talking to me about stuff, and mentally I'll be thinking, oh yeah, okay, that business talk that we had earlier, this idea was great, how do I elaborate on that? And by the time I've checked in, it's back in, it's like 4 minutes later, and she's talking about something else, and I've lost the whole conversation, and so my only interjection is take the last word that she said and then say, you're a that word, and... It sounds like I was like listening, and then I'm just being a dumbass.
Just to show that it at least shows that you're listening.
Yeah,
and that's really all women want.
See, if this conversation is that, I would have been like, "You're all that we want," and then you would have been like,
And then this would have turned into a really big gay day.
Yeah, because sometimes that happens. Sometimes it's not like smartass insulting. Sometimes I'll just say it, and she'll be like, you weren't listening to anything I've said, were you?
Yeah. I know your girl is probably, in the last week, she's probably just been talking about Pokemon Go, so don't worry, you've not been missing anything at all.
Yeah, pretty much.
You can just turn out, you phase out of that conversation.
It's either Pokemon Go or work, and both of those things I don't need to hear about.
No, you can get shit done on your time.
That looks like the Ghostbuster building from that angle.
What, the firehouse, you mean?
That, right. No, oh, the one with the Zool on top.
Gotcha. Right.
I know it's not, but New York looks like New York.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not much changed between 93 and the 80s.
Yeah.
A lot changed between 93 and now.
Yeah.
Ian McKellen. Now, who's that actor behind him?
I think that's actual footage from The Seventh Seal.
From, the actual old movie. So they just added Ian McKellen in.
Yeah, just kind of cool. Do the whole breaking of the fourth wall thing. And check out those 3D effects. You see that scythe coming out of the screen? These days, audiences just be like, whoa.
I'm not down for reboots or nothing and remakes, but I would love to see this concept, but now.
Just redone, just modernized.
Yeah, you know how they re-release games and don't change anything, but they remaster it so they look better? If we could do that with this, I would, but I don't think that we could.
It's a smart premise. I'd like to see another go at it, but also, I mean, at the same time, I don't have any problem with this, you know? I think this movie holds up really, really well.
Absolutely. This is a great film.
If you were going to do it again, I mean, you would have different references being made and stuff.
And we don't currently have someone that fits that Arnold Schwarzenegger big, buff.
The go-to action. Yeah, the go-to action star.
That we have The Rock, and he is lovable.
Yeah.
But he doesn't he has the charisma to carry the role, but he has
a similar personality to Arnold in this sort of time.
But he doesn't have the existing existing repertoire that Arnold did to play this character.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Arnold had already proved himself for a previous 10 years in movies, and he was a millionaire before that.
Yeah, the reason this movie works is that Arnold Schwarzenegger is a very believable action star, and he plays it very funny. The Rock
plays it really funny, but he has been self-aware since the beginning.
Yeah, he's been in on the jokes from the beginning.
Arnold being funny is only awesome because Arnold was the action star that he currently makes fun of.
It's a breath of fresh air to see him like, oh, finally Arnold's seeing it from our side. And
Yeah,
you're right. There's really nobody that's kind of...
Nobody fits that void. We have rando guys that are action stars in specific genres. Jason Statham. He always does martial arts.
They are caricatures of themselves. Yeah,
Vin Diesel's a badass, but he's always around cars or has mirror shine on his eye shine on his eyes to see in the dark. Like, that's it. But, Arnold, at the time, we didn't have anybody but Arnold and Stallone, and they did everything.
It was Arnold, Stallone, and Willis, right?
Yeah, even Willis was the everyman hero.
Yeah, the more believable hero, the average guy in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Arnold and Stallone were the super jacked, comic book army men.
Yeah, yeah.
We have so many actors now, there's no need to have one actor that is as much of a workhorse as they were for a 30-year period.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, Stallone is Rocky. When you see Rocky on stage talking like this and replying to questions slow, I just like to assume that's what Stallone does.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, Arnold... Because I follow him on social media, I know that this is what he does.
Yeah.
I like to think Stallone just fights people and is awesome all the time.
Yeah, this is one of those movies where if they did a reboot, I would be following it with a lot of interest.
I would follow it with a lot of interest, but honestly...
you have to be a little pessimistic about it, though.
Yeah.
Right off the bat. Just because this film holds up, watching it for the first time in, I don't know how many years it's been.
Mm-hmm.
I want to guess it's been maybe 10 years since I've actually watched this movie all the way through.
Yeah.
It's still a great movie. It's holding up really, really well.
And aside from him being a historical cameo, all the other cameos were blockbusters that came out within a year or two around this.
It's a time capsule. For this time in this genre of movie.
If somebody were to remake this, the only way it would work is if all the cameos that they had were awesome movies that were going to turn into pop culture gold that were current.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we also just watched Shrek and realized how much current can sometimes not work in a repeat
viewing. It's a very delicate balance.
Yeah, I feel like this only works because we're movie buffs. If you're into if you're into films from regardless of how old they are, you'll like this film. If you're not, this movie's kind of stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, I can get that.
And oh my god, it's even an old movie theater, man. I would skip school every day and hang out in this theater.
Right. And like at the very beginning of the movie, he's watching Jack Slater 3, and then the next day, there's a preview version of Jack Slater 4. That's either a commentary on how quickly they churn out these fucking movies, or it's a commentary on... back to this guy. Or it's a commentary on... just how shit these movie theaters are. That they just have these old movies kind of piling up. They can just play for like matinees for a dollar and shit.
I don't know. It might be a commentary on the movie industry and how much they just shit out product because you can print money.
Fast and Furious, for example.
Yeah, and I'm not even gonna lie. Some of the Fast and the Furious movies are better than others. Mm-hmm. Okay, but the first one was
the reason you can pick better movies than others is because there's seven of them. Do we need seven Fast and Furious movies?
Well, we're going to get two more. Yeah, three more, like... actually. And I'm on... okay, I'm on board with that because Fast and the Furious movies, I watch movies like The Usual Suspects because I want something that's kind of cerebral.
Uh-huh.
You know? It's the same thing. It's the same difference between Gotham and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Gotham is a great drama that happens to be set in the Batman universe, whereas Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a Saturday morning cartoon with real people. Mm-hmm. When I like the Fast and the Furious franchise, just because that is a franchise that you don't really have... If you miss 5 seconds, you're not going to be lost for the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
I turn my brain off and just watch it for the spectacle because they just, literally, I'm pretty sure they just put out movies to try and top the stunt that they did the previous movie.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure this the whole franchise is just a dick measuring contest.
It's an excellent analogy for it. I've not heard it like that before. It makes absolute sense.
Yeah.
Like what do we do in the last one? Let's drive a car from one building
Vin
to another.
Vin Diesel's probably thinking about all the coolest shit that he played and thought of when he was a kid, and he's like, now I've got the money and the know-how, and millions of people will come watch it. What do you guys want to do? Let's play.
You know what I'd love to see then? Fucking Street Sharks movie. You seen that video of him as the fucking rep for Street Sharks playing with those toys as a kid? Oh my god.
Oh,
I say
man.
Kid, like, I don't know, 18-year-old kid, like, whatever.
I want to see Small Soldiers starring Vin Diesel in Street Sharks. That's what I want to see.
Yes. That is a film that needs a reboot.
Absolutely. That was a good film, too. Mm. I was so bummed when you couldn't actually buy little action figures to talk like puppets.
Yeah.
So bummed. And Phil Hartman,
mm-hmm.
Before his wife murdered him on the boat.
Yeah.
That's the saddest shit, man. We were watching the news that day. It was the worst. Because we were big fans of Spin City. Not Spin City, News Radio. News Radio. Yeah. Spin City was good, but fucking Fox didn't die. He just got shaky. See, he knows. Mm-hmm. He gets it. See, I'd also be interested to see the downgrade from there on out in the sequel.
What happens in Jack Slater 5?
Because now Jack Slater knows.
He's fucking up the continuity, and
hamming it up for the imaginary camera.
Jack Slater 5 is the beginning of the end of the Jack Slater franchise. All the reviews are like, this film is too self-aware. Shit. Now this thing was, now does the ticket not work anymore, or does he still have the ability? Could there have been a Last Action Hero 2 where he goes back into the movie?
Like maybe it's Hollywood, bro.
Like maybe he sees a preview of Jack Slater 6 or 7 or something, and Jack Slater dies, and he goes and he jumps into the movie to save him. Can you imagine that?
Yeah, why not? I mean, sequel's always an option.
Absolutely.
Although I'd be more interested in Jack Slater coming to our world to save him from something and then just yanking him back in the movie world. I want more movie scenes with cameos. Yeah. That's all I want.
It's off. I mean, that story's awfully close to Terminator 2. Is Arnold Schwarzenegger jumping into present day to save a kid?
what if... Oh my God, that'd be depressing.
Let your mind run wild. What is it?
Remember Aurora with the Dark Knight?
Yeah.
What if Jack Slater stepped out of a scenario like that to save the day?
That would be interesting.
I'd watch it as like a YouTube video. Yeah. I wouldn't watch a two-hour movie.
Yeah, I'd watch a Funny or Die short, but I think it's a while before they touch something like that. Yeah.
I mean, how long did it take us to put out Pearl Harbor? What, 50 years? No, over that. Maybe 60?
Yeah.
It was in what, 1941?
Pearl Harbor? I don't know. You're American.
Yeah, 1941, right? Yeah, because that's when Americans got involved in World War One or World War II, and ended in 1945. Yeah, 1941. Absolutely. Every time I go to the grocery store with my dad and they ask for his birthday for anything because they card him, he looks like fucking Santa Claus, but every time they card him, he's like, they're like, "What's your birthday, sir?" And he's like, December 7th, 1941. And they're carding him by default. They're not looking at the ID because he looks like Santa Claus.
Yeah,
and that's when Pearl Harbor got hit. And they they're always stupid. They never know. They look at him. They go, "Wow, you look really good for your age."
Right.
And Dad's like, "Thank you." Oh God, my dad's an asshole. We also go to Hoi Polloi, which is the new age feng shui shop that sells like the incense and shit at Downtown Disney that was there forever. And we'd go to Hoi Polloi, and my dad would be like, "Hey, where are your feng shui section? Like, where are your feng shui books?" And if you're not familiar with feng shui, it's the art of arranging your living area, like your furniture in your house and like your bookshelves, in a way that keeps you spiritually
calm and centered.
So Dad would go in there, and we would always follow him in because it's hysterical, and he would ask for their feng shui section, and as soon as they brought him to it, he would start studiously working on rearranging all the books that were on display. And then just kind of look at the guy and nod and walk out.
What a dick.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
What a dick move, but well played. That's
funny. But he's been doing that since I was a child. So, like, I try to do that every New Age shot. I'd love Avalon.
As he's walking out, I just be like, "Guess you were naughty this year."
Yeah, well, I mean, when he does it, like, you always see, like, the clerk, because he doesn't wait for them to walk away. He waits until, like, they show him, and then he immediately starts doing it. Mm-hmm. And they're just sitting there watching in shock, and numerous times he walks away, and you can see them shake their head like, "Fucking asshole."
Does he go back in, like, 10 minutes later and see if they've rearranged it back, and then put it back all over the place again?
I've seen him rearrange the books 3 times in one night.
That's dedication.
Yeah, man. But honestly, you'll never forget that. And if that opportunity ever arises, you'll end up doing it.
I tell you what, next time I go to Epcot, when I go to one of those like gift shops or something, I'm going to look out to see if it's arranged in a particular way, and then I'm going to wreak fucking havoc on it.
Oh, yeah. But only to the feng shui section. Yeah. I do it all the time now, and whoever I happen to be with always looks at me and laughs like it's the most original shit in the world, and I don't have the heart to tell him. I'm stealing this from my dad. This is like a 20-year-old gag. All right, so Last Action Hero, the movie that we were watching that we didn't really talk about much.
We talked a surprising amount about it, actually.
Okay.
And we watched it more than I think we've watched most movies.
Because it's fucking amazing.
Yeah,
it's a really good film.
Prepared to do a post-mortem on this.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I love how self-referential it is. I dig that.
We have a whole fucking section listed for cameos here.
Oh yeah, and when we were talking cameos, we didn't even include actors cameoing as themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
Like his wife and shit, and Jim Belushi. And stuff, yeah. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. This movie, yes, some of the effects do not stand the test of time. But
look at that, John McTiernan Sr. So he put his dad in the movie as a cigar stand man.
Hell yeah,
that's nice.
Why not?
Yeah,
you know it. But the fact that it is so self-referential and it came out in 93 and they reference a lot of things from that date, it really does make the movie even better. The fact that so many things are dated, it puts you in a nostalgic like feeling. It puts you in a nostalgic point of view, and this movie really stands the test of time.
I think we're very lucky to have been, you know, at the age we were when this movie came out and became a hit, and we discovered this on the video and everything. This movie, a lot of this would be lost, because action movies are very different now, you know, this day and age.
They're like Marvel, with like ensemble crews for a lot of the movies.
Yeah. So the idea of a cameo is kind of almost played out at this point, because you've got actors that are, you know, you're kind of expecting to appear.
Every Marvel movie has like 30 cameos.
Yeah, you're expecting them at this point.
Yeah.
You don't expect to see fucking Robert Patrick or Sharon Stone turn up for 2 seconds in a completely completely different Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
Completely different company's movie as well.
Yeah.
Who's the cool kids club now? Who is the... Because I know, like, George Clooney. Yeah, everybody in the Ocean's movies got paid. I fucking know that. But I know, much like the first... When Ocean's 11 came out in the 60s, Sammy Davis Jr. is the only one that actually showed up to work on time, and the rest of them only did the movie because it was them being able to fuck off with their friends for 2 months on, like, a studio's dime.
Right. I don't know who the equivalent is these days now.
You know, like, I don't...
It was, like, the Apatow crew for a while, but...
Yeah, but even then, they're very, like, niche market. The Apatow crew covers comedy, but they don't really cover... they did, like, a couple action-y movies, like, This is
Pineapple
the End,
Express,
and and the one in North Korea, but... Meh.
Not the same.
Yeah, no. It would be cool to see a reboot of this, but it'd be almost impossible to do well.
Yeah, I don't know who the hell you would cast for it. This is a beautiful time capsule to a better time for action movies, I think.
A mythical time.
Yeah, and for self-referential movies as well. So, with that, let's sign off here. Thank you for joining us for our Big Gay Date. Once again, my name is Dave Mosley.
My name is Carl Skeens.
And we will see you next time. Thank you.